Good evening. Welcome. And thank you for coming to the second installment of our 34th season of River Styx at Duff's. Tonight we have something of a blast from the past. We were looking at some of the archives from Karen Duffy's scrapbook from some of the very first readings we did here at River Styx 35 years ago. This is our 34th season, though, so that kind of makes sense as River Styx was first starting. I'm going to get off the podium here, and I'm going to welcome Michael Castro. You guys know Michael Castro, the founder of River Styx. He's going to do the introductions from here on.
Thank you, Richard. It's great to be here. David Meltzer was one of the earliest established poets to latch on to River Styx, or to let us grasp on to him. And Michael Rothenberg, no, it's not Jerome Rothenberg. Let's get that clear from the beginning, who also was involved with early River Styx. But Michael Rothenberg, who's going to read first, I first met some years ago through our mutual friend, the poet and photographer Ira Cohen in New York. And then I hooked up with Michael again when he was living in Miami, and we spent an incredible afternoon just hanging out together and walking, it seemed like, for miles along the beach, talking and talking and talking. And he is now based in San Francisco, where he is a vital part of the poetry scene there. A really inquiring kind of mind into culture at all levels. He's been doing some significant work as an editor for Penguin Modern Poetry series, working with writers of the Beat era. Like David Meltzer, he's edited a collection of poems by Meltzer, Joanne Kiger, Philip Whalen, two books by Philip Whalen, most recently The Collected Whalen, a mammoth 800-page book. And he's also a poet in his own right with a number of publications. Some of them are here. This is a book of Whalen's called The Goof Book. And this is Unhurried Vision and The Paris Journals. So this is the first time Michael's been to St. Louis and read here at Duff's. So it's really, and he's got a great sense of humor, and he's pretty out there. So please welcome Michael Rothenberg.
See if I can see.
Is this a metaphysical
video? You mean the way the light is?
No, just seeing.
Seeing. That's easier.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, wow, just give me a couple. I'm seeing the lights, you know, I'm seeing that glow. Now I have to see. I have like three pairs of glasses, right? Which, I don't know why, I was superstitious about bifocals. I thought I would get older faster or something. Well, depending on the light, I can know which glasses to use. Yeah, that's good. That's good. Oh, yeah, wow. I can't see you, but I can see that. Which is what matters, I guess. Thank you, everybody, for coming, and thanks for having us here at Duff's and River Styx. I mean, it's an honor, and everybody's been so great, the hospitality, and I mean, really, thank you. This is called a Mink Household. Let me know, can you hear me all right?
Yeah.
Okay. The household was mink-lined, pearl-studded, chandeliers hung elegant moonlight above linen and silver, veal cutlets, braised asparagus, chilled applesauce, baked potatoes topped with sour cream, flaked with chives, romaine salad with vinaigrette. The cook, the cream of domestic soup, served our meals on matching china. We called plumber, dry cleaner, day worker, gardener, roofer, painter, carpenter to fix it when it broke. There was a decorator, doctor, dentist, dermatologist, orthodontist, and podiatrist. They tended ornaments and fussy organs. My mother was queen, and she went shopping while the king, my father, drew up contracts claiming lands for real endeavors. He drove a caddy, she drove a Lincoln, I drove a Schwinn, my brother too. We had a boat, we flew in planes, we went to Europe, rode the trains, ate Russian caviar, dipped Maine lobster in lemon butter. We ate marzipan, Swiss chocolates, and pasta al dente with pesto. My brother and I drank Coca-Cola. My mother drank wine. My father drank J&B, Stolichnaya, Courvoisier, Creme de Mint. My mother drank less than my father. We ate because we ate well. I saw the Ice Capades, the Harlem Globetrotters, Cassius Clay fight Sonny Liston, the Beatles at the Deauville, Bob Dylan, Jimi Hendrix, the Dave Clark Five, Sonny and Cher, the Rolling Stones, the Fleetwoods, the Diamonds, the Temptations, Little Anthony, and the Imperials. I had a microscope, chemistry set, rock collection, shell collection, stamp collection, black light incense burner, model of a Spanish galleon, replica of a Bowie knife. I drove a country squire wagon, Grand Prix, Fiat Spider. My brother drove an Austin Healey convertible. I had a leather jacket, play clothes, school clothes, dress clothes. My father wore silk ties, silk suits, Italian shoes. Mother wore French fashions, mink stoles, strings of pearls when she went out with Dad to the embers, shay this, shay that, and other places. I was too young to still remember. We had wine cabinets, china cabinets, dressing rooms, Florida room, dining room, ironing room, closets. And for all that, we were still very middle class. It's really better to see people. I can make it. I moved to California in 75 and started a tropical plant nursery. I decided I wanted to grow bromeliads, and I moved there and started up this with my brother, my wife, and it was right across from this beautiful headland on the California coast, and I found out that there were all these San Francisco garter snakes, which were endangered, that lived there, and the red-legged frog, and all this was like an amazing, important habitat, and I got very involved in fighting to protect it. There was a plan to put a big housing development and conference center and restaurants on this just pristine bluff facing the ocean. And as we worked to protect it, we found out that they have a permit that they give out. The Fish and Wildlife Service gives out a permit called a take permit, which is a permit to go out and kill an endangered species if for some reason or another, which I just didn't get. I figured if you knew it was endangered, then why would you take it? So I was kind of, the poem is called Take. Dozers and Homo sapiens renovating Eden. Does it belong to me? Take those golden acrobats, masked and feathered array, damselfly, salt marsh yellow throat, Merlin. Is it mine? the lupin, ranunculus, willow, and tule, melodies on cattail singing posts, revolutions beyond evolution, take those charging loins, darting, split tongue, turquoise, garter snake, hormone, beveling bone through spring grass. In another drought year, take those golden beings working in another tongue. Do they belong to God or me? Circus, effusive, dispersed over wave-bashed headlands, bluff, creeping a fluff, quivering ashore. In tide pools, aquatic revelers, take, take, tentacular, slimy, deeper and further do I turn? Or is it Noah's Ark, crushing against the sudden appearance of sunken land form? Is it mine or God's accordant plan, these tools, hoe, plow, knead, raised, so majority goes mitigating biblical resolution, the formal hills, seeps, and watershed, silting marsh. Battered democracy, exclusion from Eden, take, it comes to me in alarm. Is it mine or God, ringing in on every cue? In hierarchy, does it belong to me? The headache says, pressing children, family, you, there will be others after you. It has nothing to do with us. It has everything to do with tattooed lips, suicide prevention, dragons, crossbones, red stars, and sacred hearts. It has nothing to do with us. It has everything to do with pool halls, Irish whiskey, Coca-Cola, the house rules. Local boys grumble, lose quarters in the jukebox, spoons of cappuccino froth at closing time in the Blue Danube Cafe, the Danube, the nearest body of water when Narcissus and Echo go to town. It has nothing to do with us. It has everything to do with abstraction, connecting lines in a story written as it was meant to be written. It isn't chance, it isn't. It's sky, dance, eye, staring into eternity. It has to do with mouths, fingertips, radio loud up singing, romantic truth. It has everything to do with youth, trees, the ones we're imagining. Not those old oaks we saw claw spasmodically in noon heat, branches drenched in green lichen, fence stumps grown with moss, horses and corrals. It's got to do with morale, everything to do with something holy. Calistoga, 1992, blue sky, day, mineral springs bubble in the motel swimming pool, discovery of neck, hands, hair and foot, Madame Dora, tarot reader, palmist, out to lunch. It's got nothing to do with us. We're only dust. It has to do with stopping the sun, half naked on a beach before the prom. Photographs of who we once were. What do you think of me now? It has nothing to do with us. It has to do with remembering to forget our desires because they're too painful and because they're too beautiful. We're afraid to run far. We turn tiny circles around suburban yards. We forget. It has everything to do with things we try to forget, the faint groan, the whispered cry of much, too much. It has nothing to do with us. It has everything to do with stepping away from burning lips, burning the fringe of everything around us. It has nothing to do with saying yes, or the smell of us, or kissing the neck of a disembodied lover. It has nothing to do with us. It has everything to do with impulse, how it burrows through the melting snowfields of our last night. Flushed, you wave goodnight, lower the drawbridge to your cliffside house. It has everything to do with a mouse inside our throats, quivering a whisker to find a clear note, coming back to ourselves while the mechanism of the cosmos fails. Evolution skips a beat. We retreat. It has nothing to do with us. It has everything to do with lust, coursing through our bodies, shot full. Thy kingdom come, this falling down, rapture on the come, chrysanthemum, narcissus in clay pot beside a rose bush. It has nothing to do with us. It has everything to do with all we've seen, heard, and felt. It has nothing to do with us. Dogs yelp in the woods, hungry on a hunt. The huntress mired in quicksand. The arrow never lands. Echo turns to Narcissus. Is this who I am? She wants to know before the bog suffocates her. The boy offers his hand. Echo asks, does this love, death, have anything to do with us? She takes his hand rather than wait for an answer. Narcissus, never very good with words, grips Echo and murmurs, it has nothing to do with this. He lifts her from the bog. It has everything to do with moments unresolved, everything to do with us. It must. It has everything to do with this. They kiss. Okay. Broken vow. Are you all there? Am I here? This may be the first time I breathe. Breathe all day. Broken. Broken vow at Mount Nebo Cemetery. Curtains closed on sparkling Miami nightlife. Strange youth overcomes me, calls me to visit Mount Nebo Cemetery. Grandpa Sam the bookie, buried beside Grandma Ida, who made the juiciest hamburgers. Grandpa Harry, the loan shark, buried beside Grandma Ethel, who died of insulin shock. And Dad, an attorney and real estate developer in his polished granite loft. The unmarked slot beside him, reserved for my asthmatic mother, who always wanted to be a sculptor. And 100 feet west of my blood, a suicide, Lindsay, my first love. Oh, princess of broken vows, I'm here again with your inconstant bones to see what nightmare goes walking through geranium, hibiscus, and oleander, to revisit silky oils and perfume, patchouli, French powders, mascara stains on tear-soaked corners of a goose-down comforter. You call me back to the panic of a new moon, our last Coconut Grove reunion, after a college rendition of Hair. We drove back to my flat, fell inside each other. Music deepened the senses, deepened confession. You flailed for possessions. Boys were leashed, but you couldn't sort out the truth from imported shoes, stuffed toys, or costume jewelry. When tremors racked your body, wealth pulled you down. Now plastic flowers adorn your epitaph. Mount Nebo, 3 a.m. Dad's reddened ears, a man and his scotch, elbows on the wobbling bar of the embers, orating off-color jokes in a highbrow circus of diamond mirrors, crystal chandeliers. And Lindsay, you're always there, just a few deaths away from my father's bad heart floating beside me under mother's fresh quilts, the gentle paws of your hand over my thighs. Clouds danced, a zodiac of rooster, rabbit, bagel, and lox. We pulled our bodies closer, condensations of stilt-rooted islands, blue jeans pushed hastily to bed's tight tuck. When a tropical storm came up, stripped coconuts from the trees, and the trees bowed in supplication. We said it wasn't really making love. Then, with black, angry eyes, you taught me about broken vows. With suntanned boys who flew south for the winter from New Jersey or New York. Lies and seduction. That was only the beginning. The heart lives with lies and dies with compromise. On my knees at Mount Nebo, 3 a.m., where father drunk and proud can hear me pray, where my princess of broken vows lies between bays, crystal skies, palms, and pearls, where the body belongs to no one to hold too long. Simplify infinity. Rain slaughters the balcony. I'm invisible. Flowers blown off red skeletons. I'm describing my death. My mother tells me, come inside. But there's nothing inside worth imagining. It's all outside. Starlings in confusion, where the body is purified by danger. So I guess when I met Michael, I had gone to Florida, and I was living in California, and I had been caring for Philip Whalen, the beat poet. I don't know if you're all familiar with him, the beat poet, beat Zen monk poet of the original, you know, six gallery reading from Reed College with, he went with Gary Snyder and Lou Welch, this group. And I was caring for Philip, and I had been working on his selected poems called Overtime for Penguin. And I ended up taking care of him, and we got to this point where he was in a hospice, and I was there with him every day. And then my mother got lung cancer, so I had to go to Miami and leave him at the last moment and go take care of my mother at the last moment, and then my mother died, and then Philip died, and then my closest friend in Florida died, and then my house burned down, and all my books and papers gone, and then came Hurricane Francis, Ivan, Jean, Wilma, Katrina, Rita, and then I left Florida, and I went back to California, and I was like, felt like Jonah, you know? I was being pursued, and I got to Guerneville in the redwoods there, and there was a flood.
Why me?
Why me? I'm saying that I'm just starting to sleep again. You know, I think for 5 years I was just waiting. You know, I felt like a tin can on a fence post. You know, when someone's taking target practice, and I was like, they're all gone except this one me can, right? So this is called Redwood Flood Watch. Below the radar, let me see something before, so I don't worry about it. The pages are all there. I got to tell myself that. You know, it's part of that, you know, with the flood and the, you know, I'll get there and the last page will be missing and I don't remember. Yeah, people don't hang around with me anymore. David does. Now that's a man. Yeah, he's brave. This is a hero. He's also a little crazy. Below the radar, used up. I've forgotten what to write. Historically, geographically, Guerneville, Redwood Decks, a middle class colonialism. I don't write. When morning comes, a bell, the terror of quotidian, heaven in a coffee pot, winter rain, 90,000 without power. No, I haven't forgotten what to write. I have a list. Flood level, 32 feet. Russian River to Crested, 46 feet. What's your address in the Redwoods? Sequoia sempervirens, a very tall, evergreen, coniferous tree. Sequoia, Cherokee who invented Cherokee syllabary. Sempervirens means ever living. And beyond that, a pot of chicken, squash, onions, and mushrooms cooked in a wood stove. Components, constructs. Native to coastal ranges of southern Oregon and central and northern California, having small seed-bearing cones with peltate scales and unflattened branches. Creeks, spills, seeps, falls. Some Native Americans stripped bark off redwood trees to gather sweet cambium layers for food. Hot tub in the redwoods. High winds off Pacific blow down from Alaska Bay. Donald says he'll show me how to climb a redwood. Terry says you're not climbing anything. Listen to wood stove. Audible. Red cross. Shuffle wooden stove. Blizzard in Sierras. Dennis says, do you believe it? You own all these trees. You own me, I tell the trees, under the stars. Begin again. Continue. Pretend. Preview. Vacuum carpet downstairs. One of the survival strategies of redwood trees is ability to sprout from bud tissue called burl. Highest tide of the year. If a tree falls, logged or trunk damaged, the burl can be triggered to start sprouting new growth. Evacuation. Audible. The sprouts use the root system of the parent tree and are genetically identical. Who's to say they're not the same tree? New Year's Eve in the dark. Past, present, future disconnected. Who wears a hat? Who discusses this? Who is in the immovable grove? Scratch, twitch, scratch, rumble. No way out of the canyon. Madrone, oak, tick, black, tick, tock, creek. Green, mossy coffee mug. Second growth redwoods often grow very fast. Conditions worse, audible. Often stumps in old logged over areas are ringed by smaller trees that grew from roots of parent tree. These rings are called fairy rings. Gray hum, a possum stalks creek with walking stick. Mud slides, rock slides, landslides, submission. Natural O currency. Every day a new destruction. Needles clog the gutter. Quail scratch bark mulch to find seed fallen from bird feeder. Dead deer in the slow lane. What war? Which war? Is it ever a good war? Fog on the deck. What door? The open one? What for? The war. Nervous eye on the highway. Oh, the redwoods, this new growth door. Go ahead, open it. Frogs. Audible. Blue skies. Blue jays wake the morning. Yes, come in. Sit. I'll be right with you. There's a war I must finish. I will win it shortly. Thank you. So here are these pieces.